Welcome to another episode of the Tech Exception Show. My name is Ruth Yakubu, and today I am absolutely thrilled to have Girish Pancha, who is the CEO of StreamSets, joining us today. And in today's discussion, we're going to be talking about how the company manages data pipelines and data drifts for machine learning. Girish, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm super excited for this discussion.
Same here, Ruth, and thank you for having me on today.
Awesome. Well, before we get started, let me do some housekeeping. For the viewers that are watching live, please feel free to post your questions in the chat window. And at the end of the show, we'll be sure to address all the questions that you have for Girish. So, Girish, tell us about StreamSet. What is StreamSet and what problem is the company solving?
All right. So we are a startup. We've been around for about 6 to 7 years now. We've been commercially available for just over 6 years. Our leadership has, sometimes we say decades of experience. I think we have centuries of experience in business intelligence, big data, and data integration. So, you know, our motto really here is we've been there, we've done that, we're looking to do it right. And our data integration is the foundation in our mind of all things around data analytics. And in data analytics, I think there are three trends very much in keeping with your with the focus of your show. It's one is around just augmenting business intelligence, traditional business intelligence, making it more real time. But more interestingly, I think it's the evolution of what we used to think of as advanced analytics, stuff that used to be done through statistical means and now has been kind of moving over into what sometimes people call augmented analytics, which is driven by AI and machine learning. And the other trend I think that's happening is that things are moving from an analytics perspective from being kind of offline, not in real time, to being online and always on within applications, et cetera. So these trends all require continuous data in order for this to work. And that's really where we fit in. You know, we want to be the vendor, the technology provider that can deliver this continuous data in the form of continuous design, in the form of continuously being able to redeploy pipelines that support these analytics, in the form of observability of the data supply chain. And all of this put together is an emerging practice that has been coined data ops. Much like DevOps solved this problem for application engineering a decade ago, data ops solves this for data engineering. And we feel like our data ops platform is a key underpinning to solving this problem. And at least in terms of relevance to your audience, we work across a lot of different technologies and environments, but definitely from the perspective of Microsoft, we integrate across a wide variety of Azure services and platforms that kind of require any sort of movement of data between different applications and different different systems.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because when it comes to analytics, we always think of the machine learning part, but a majority of it is actually the data part, the data handling, and all the processing around that data before you even start your machine learning code. So I'm glad you were able to articulate that and set the stage for this conversation. So do you have any examples of areas where StreamSets has been used in real life to give us a better context of how your solution works?
Absolutely. And again, I think the focus that we have is probably on some of the larger businesses typically. Of course, we do have a good number of very data savvy small businesses that use our technology, but I'll probably concentrate on maybe one or two stories around some of our bigger customers. Maybe before that, I would just say, look, what's driving the need for this? What are these new projects, et cetera? So more generically, We see a few things going on. One is, you know, again, there's different words people use, but it's kind of like migrating or moving the data and possibly the applications from on-premise infrastructures to cloud infrastructures. And the interesting thing about data is that it kind of stays in both places. You know, it's not just like an app that you can take, you can shut down. Data is always being used both on-prem and cloud. So the need for a kind of a hybrid solution is I think all important. The other driver is just the speed at which these platforms are changing. You know, we see every time, every few months, every year, we look at even what Microsoft's doing, we're constantly innovating around the data platforms. You know, a year ago, 2 years ago, it was, you know, big data, SQL, BDC, now it's Synapse, you know, then you're doing other things, et cetera. So, you know, these large enterprises want a way to kind of embrace these different platforms, you know, as quickly as possible. Look, and the reality is, I think in the real world, there's a lot of multi-vendor solutions even within the same cloud platform. So while people using Microsoft Azure first-party services are also using third-party platform offerings to folks like, you know, Snowflake and whatnot. So, you know, there's all of that going on, all in this, you know, all in the enterprise landscape. So I think a good example for me of something that encapsulates all of these trends and also encapsulates those three different patterns I was talking about of data analytics is Shell. You know, Shell obviously is one of the biggest, baddest companies on earth, not baddest, biggest companies on earth. And Shell has a kind of a division in there called Shell.ai. This division has, I don't know, like the hundreds, if not, you know, thousands of what I've called citizen data scientists, who are really the experts at bringing all of the power of the latest, greatest machine learning algorithms to the business. But they're supported by, you know, maybe a fifth of the whole team are actually data engineers. And they're, you know, effectively these, they collaborate with the citizen data scientists to speed up the clock cycle. And the idea here for them is that anything is fair game in both from the sourcing of data in the enterprise and the consumption of data in the enterprise. So from a sourcing perspective, you know, oil and gas talks about kind of upstream and downstream. Upstream, you're going to the wells, the drills, et cetera. This is, you know, very kind of machine generated, always on type of data. And of course, downstream, you've got your you know, your retail and your partners and your consumers and on the other end. And, you know, they're building specific applications that work on each of these use cases all the way from upstream to downstream and using a lot of the, you know, kind of cutting edge Azure capabilities around machine learning, around cognitive services. You know, it's really an end-to-end platform for experimentation and model management. And, you know, the fact is it can be in the app, it can be a one-off, it can be kind of streaming BI and streaming machine learning. And for all of this, we end up helping the citizen data engineers deliver the data in support of the machine learning models, which is, of course, in support of the end application. So that's a very exciting use case for us. And of course, you know, this is in one industry. We actually have joint kind of clients and customers in healthcare. They're publicly available, companies like Humana in healthcare and banks and manufacturing and all other verticals. So we're very, this is a very general purpose solution to effectively a general purpose platform that Azure is.
Yeah, those are very good examples because kind of like how you mentioned, I feel like 3 or 4 years ago, everything we heard was Hadoop, and people are still using that and Spark with the analytics and whatnot. So given that, what are the different types of Azure data integrations that or data sources that StreamSets supports currently?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I guess in terms of, you know, we think of things as origins and destinations. There is another, I would say, element of it where even as you're kind of in stream processing, you can invoke processing in midstream in the pipeline. So if we take, let's say, the destinations, they tend to be both the emerging, the new data platforms, and of course, we never leave anything behind. So So on that front, you know, technologies like Synapse, Azure Databricks, HD Insight, which is kind of Hadoop-like in nature. I mentioned a little earlier on SQL, the big data integrated offering for the latest version of SQL called SQL BDC, Azure Kubernetes Services, Azure Data Lake Storage, ADLS. On the real-time front, Azure Event Hub, all of these are effectively our destinations. And usually when we think of a destination, we think of it also as a source, because when you think about a supply chain, it could always kind of publish in and publish back out, et cetera. So that's on the quote unquote, the receiving end of our pipelines. And the sourcing end, in addition to all of these, we support almost all kind of traditional data sources in enterprise. So traditional applications, of course, SaaS applications, databases. We can support databases in a variety of manners, including a manner that we call change data capture, or CDC. So you kind of activate real-time data out of these databases. And another strength of ours, I'd say, is around kind of machine-generated data. So both because it's kind of always on, but also because it's less structured than application data. So folks often read things like, you know, logs and sensor data and whatnot, and use our pipelines to manage that process in an always-on manner.
Yeah, you just mentioned an interesting point, because even giving your shell an analogy, usually when you're dealing with data ingest, the data is either going to become as a real-time streaming, or this is a batch process that has to maybe be run at midnight, that sort of thing, or once in a blue moon. So I'm curious, how does StreamSet provide functionality that enables data engineers to be able to design or implement smart, resilient data pipelines to be able to handle all these different data workloads that are coming in?
Yeah, look, first, I think, the good news is we're a startup, so we can't afford to have too many moving parts. You know, like if you talk to larger vendors, the incumbent vendors in the space, they can say they do everything, but they end up doing every little thing a different way with a different code base because it's been acquired, et cetera. We didn't have that luxury. You know, we started off as two poor guys and a PowerPoint. And so we've had to be as smart as possible in terms of just our technology itself. So the first thing I'd say is that a single tech stack, a single code base is what we have created to try to solve the true end-to-end enterprise problems. And, that's not easy to do. It takes a lot of work. The other thing I would say with these pipelines is, even from a user perspective, you know, there's just a wide variety in terms of the sophistication of the quote-unquote data engineer. So you got to strike the right balance and in fact support the power that engineers need with the simplicity of more casual kind of data pipeline developers might need. So we can kind of do that, you know, in the form of all the way from nice UIs to these SDKs and APIs. You can kind of reskin the technology, et cetera. So that's another piece. Now, I think I've alluded to this third piece already, but a big piece of our value proposition is portability. So even within the Azure ecosystem, you know, if you built HD Insight pipelines and you want to try another one of the Azure properties, we can very easily allow you to take that pipeline and retarget it somewhere without needing to do any kind of redevelopment, et cetera. So those are some of our kind of, I think, value propositions and fundamental tenets. And then you just hit there's kind of like the batch to real time. In fact, many processes require a little bit of both. You know, sometimes people talk about this as a Lambda architecture. So you're doing some things periodically, you're augmenting it with things in real time, and the two put together gives you the answer, because the historical data provides some of the context, the real-time data provides the actual kind of immediate business value. And the other piece, I'd say, with a real-world AI, machine learning, enterprise infrastructure, is that you need to kind of bring the data to compute, which is what people just think about when you think about ingest, anything that's really bringing your data to a compute infrastructure so you can do some deep work. but you also want to do what I would say, you know, bring the compute to the data. So be able to be very smart about invoking, you know, everything from simple things like just sanitizing your data to even invoking, you know, kind of a machine learning algorithm so you can do a kind of a scoring at the edge rather than you know, back in the compute platform. So those are all the things that we do, you know, specifically around stream sets and why we think, you know, we talk about these things as smart data pipelines. We've got a few things going on. One is we try to do something, what we call our intent-driven pipeline. So we try to minimize the amount of specification that you need to do with respect to how the data gets processed. A simple thing, which a lot of people spend a lot of time on, is just dealing with format conversion. You know, it's, hey, it came in a comma-separated manner. I need to change it to Avro. I need to change it to JSON. All those things get taken automatically. But even more importantly, you don't even have to define and over-define things like the schema of your data. You know, we will infer that on the fly. And so, you know, we think that that's a key way to run these pipelines, you know, that they're intent-driven so they can then automatically change and watch for change and therefore be much more resilient. And then, of course, the other pieces of resilient always on pipelines is if you do have to make these changes, you have things like, you know, CI/CD that you can automatically scale, you can monitor your performance, et cetera. And the key, I think, enabling capability that we have that allows for all of this is something that we call data flow sensors, or more generically, kind of like data observability or pipeline observability is all important in solving these problems.
Well, that's very good to know that the pipeline, now I can see why there are smart pipelines, because it's able to be able to be flexible regardless of the data source that you use before. You can swap in and out, and also be able to have a mixed mode type of data type that's coming in, and the intelligence of knowing, okay, it came in this format, how can we optimize it due to speed and sufficiency of whatever format it goes through to speed up the processing of the data. Speaking of data, when we're dealing with data, that especially unstructured data nowadays that comes from all kinds of sources, that you need to do data transformation before you actually get to the machine learning analytics, you're dealing with sensitive data. So how does StreamSet deal with data governance and also kind of prevent data breaches? Mm-hmm. Do you guys address those type of scenarios?
Yeah, absolutely. Like again, so we're the what I call the pipeline specialist. So so we, you know, it's I guess what a good example of this would be if you know, in the real world, if you've got pipes that you're counting on to get you know, water into your house or whatever, you know, we're not going to be necessarily the ones working on the fixtures in the house itself. You know, we're going to make sure that, you know, we sign up for the quality of service of the pipeline itself. And so in terms of data security and data leakage and data breaches and whatnot, we don't profess to solve the whole picture, right? And we say, look, there's going to be other things that you may be doing when the data is under management in your platform, et cetera. And in fact, you know, we integrate with obviously all the basic security capabilities that you know, Azure would provide in terms of you know, things like, you know, key vaults and whatnot. What we do, because again, taking that idea of observability, what we basically say is, look, if you want to define or identify what is sensitive data for you, so, you know, kind of PXI, so to speak, you know, PII, PHI, you know, PCI, whatever. And you can, again, do that where it's kind of out of the box, where we can understand basic things like, you know, credit cards and social securities and names and whatnot, email address and whatnot. Or you can even define your own more complex, let's call it algorithm, you know, either that effectively identifies what is sensitive data for you. We can effectively apply that as a kind of a meta processor in these pipelines. And we can keep sniffing, you know, periodically, or you can decide how much you want to allow to go through, you know. So you can say any 1% or all 100%. We're going to look and see, make sure that this stuff doesn't flow through. so that when you have done this, you know, when you become GDPR compliant, when you've, you know, become HIPAA compliant and all those, you know, things that you've certified, from that point onwards, in real time, we can kind of watch and make sure that you're not breaking those rules, so that you don't come back a month later, 2 months later, and find out that, you know, that, that things have gone wrong. So that's where you know, we come in. And, you know, I think maybe thinking about it a little bit more general purpose, you know, in terms of talking about governance, you know, governance can mean so many other things too. So security and data privacy is a big piece of it. But even just confidence in the data becomes a data governance issue. You know, if you're making business impactful decisions, are you working on the right data? Is it fresh? You know, I mean, you know, or are you, is it stale? Have you lost data along the way? You know, so did something happen in these pipes and you're actually working on a subset of data? Has that data been corroded because of, you know, bad algorithms that have been applied because of the data changes, et cetera? And even like, has the data shape itself changed? So when you think about all of those pieces, what we say is, look, our data observability capabilities can create and emit all of this metadata that's going through the pipes. You're going to need a catalog infrastructure to really run your governance process. You know, so you know, you've got to have some history, and that's your catalog. So in the case of Azure, you've got Azure Data Catalog. You've just introduced Azure Purview. So these are, you know, kind of great environments to say, look, here's where you run your governance process from. And what we can do is say, look, if you've got that information, of course we can start off, and that's our starting point. So you're not reinventing the wheel and saying, we know nothing and what's going on in these pipes. We'll say, okay, that's what we think is happening. But every time something really happens, we can also catch that and send it back up to the mothership, to the data governance store, the apps, et cetera. So you really have this kind of always on continuous data governance rather than a historical approach to data governance, which used to be very much top down. You spend a lot of time defining all these things, you kind of fire it, and then you forget because you didn't know how to keep up with the changes that was going on in the enterprise.
Right. So we have 8 minutes. So I want us to also cover the machine learning piece of it and also data drift. So how does StreamSet integrate with Python to make machine learning implementation development easier for data scientists?
Yeah. So look, I think our pipelines are very multilingual is maybe the way I describe it. So, we can invoke Python. We can invoke Python through Jython. We can invoke Python through Spark, PySpark. People often also want to invoke even for machine learning. More generic Spark capabilities and any other languages like Groovy, Java, whatever, you know, all of those can be invoked. So first and foremost, I think when you think about this modern pipelines, in the old days, you think about pipelines basically being able to, you know, aggregate data, join data, filter data, et cetera. Our pipelines are really kind of, you know, AI enabled because of the ability to invoke all of these capabilities. Again, this is all in our mind, this is all around operationalization. It's not just a one-time thing. It's like, you know, always kind of going on. And that should obviously point out TensorFlow also as another key capability to invoke these machine learning kind of capable algorithms in these pipelines.
Yeah. So to make it clear, I know StreamSet has StreamSet collectors to collect data. So when it comes to ingesting data, we usually use maybe Pandas to bring in data files into a data frame. So do you guys provide SDKs for the developers in order to integrate with the StreamSet data collectors and also go through the, let's say, TensorFlow model evaluation, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so we actually have two pipelining technologies. The data collector that you point out is for the ingest. You know, typically, when you're talking about ingest, you think of it as kind of like a record-based pipelining capability. So your decisioning is happening kind of, you know, in real time. You know, you see something, you need to make a decision. So is it fraudulent or is it not? Is it faulty? Is it not? Is it no? Is it a, I don't know, in a machine learning vision, it might be, you know, is this a dog or is it not, et cetera. So those are the things that the collector can help you or can invoke. And again, it's not the collector's built-in intelligence. It's the data scientist's intelligence being brought in and being plugged in into these pipelines. And then the other product that we have is called Transformer. And Transformer really can enable you to do kind of like more of the big data set type of machine learning and training and whatnot. So the two put together, you know, you kind of do the training on the larger data sets and you do that kind of quote unquote in the cloud, and then you can do some of the real time decisioning in the data collector on the way in. And of course these two work together, so you know, you can actually deploy the data collector also closer to the transformer, etc. So that's the mechanism. And to your point, just around, you know, how then does this fit in with pandas and other things, everything we do is API first. Everything's got the SDKs kind of got it covered. So, you know, everything, when we show something, we would show it as a user interface, but in terms of actual real world deployments, the more hardcore these things are heading towards an application, the more you can kind of automate the whole end to end and then just, you know, kind of run this from this in a headless manner.
Okay, so we're down to a few minutes. So in 1 minute, how does StreamSet handle data drifts? Because most of the time you have your model working, you're all excited, it was running perfectly for a month, then wait a minute, why is everything going awry? It's no longer accurate. So how does StreamSet handle data drifts?
Yeah, so look, I mean, drift can mean a lot of different things to different people. You know, it can be kind of semantic changes in the data. It can be kind of structural changes in data. It can be more infrastructural changes where like the location of your data changes, et cetera. So each of them, I'd say, requires a slightly different approach to solving the problem. Overall, I'd say at the semantic level, the closer you get to the data, our technology is what we call that data flow sensor. So you're able to sense and then, of course, and emit. And look, there's no right answer. It's like sensing it is all important. What do you do with it? The sky's the limit. You know, you may want to stop the presses, stop the pipelines, and say, no, this is kind of a production down situation. Or you can let things go and still say, look, you know, warn the pipeline developer that something is not quite working. So, you know, you get the whole spectrum, or you can ignore it altogether, right? So that's how we look at it. And then as we go higher up that chain that I was describing around this notion of intent drivenness, now that's the other way we help with drift, because if things are changing, there are more, what you need to do is be more responsive and be more agile. Our technology is kind of very loosely bound, and a lot of like kind of late, lazy kind of compute goes on in our technology. So a lot of those things don't have to be defined up front. They can be kind of they can be more emergent as time goes on after you've deployed, and that's, you know, all important to the to this notion of enabling data ops, in our opinion.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, it's great to know that StreamSet is able to provide data op functionalities to help both data engineers and data scientists in the end-to-end data cleansing and machine learning when you're learning patterns in your data. So, Girish, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Do you have any parting words?
Just remember, data engineering is it, and it's not easy, but it's not too hard. And so embrace it, love it, become a hero if you're a data engineer in the enterprise, okay?
Awesome. Well, it's a pleasure. And for the viewers watching from home, thank you so much for joining our live session. And I'm looking forward to having you guys next Wednesday, where we feature another awesome startup. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on. Bye-bye.